and sisters peace. And it's the traditional greeting that we will give when we preach in Taiwan. So it's the language that I usually preach in when I'm in Taiwan. Just share a very small tidbit with you. Before I start, I have my own thing that I learned yesterday when I was driving up here. Driving up, we were staying in St. Cloud the night before, so we drove from St. Cloud yesterday. And, you know, I'm not super familiar with this area, so, you know, of course, I go to Google Maps to make sure my map is all figured out, make sure I'm going the right way. And, but nevertheless, when I'm on the road, I'm always kind of nervous, like, oh, I don't know if I missed the turn. I don't want to miss the turn. I don't want to take too much time. So, you know, I'm always looking for a shortcut, even when there isn't one. So, yesterday, if you know the area, we were coming up 64, and so I was looking for, you know, the cross through 200 up to 71, and it's just, you know, the pastor's house is right there, right? But when I was on 64, there's another left-hand turn to continue on 87, and there's a sign that says 71 on there, 271. I thought, maybe that will be quicker. So I was, you know, I'm just kind of like, I see John shaking his head. That's not quicker, is it? I found out later it wasn't quicker. Anyway, so, you know, we took the scenic route anyway. So my wife wasn't too happy about it, but we survived. But as I took that long cut, I felt God also was teaching me something. You know, sometimes when we are going along in our life, you know, we know, oh, in the future I'm going to do something. I'm going to go, you know, go into missions, or I'm going to start something. And so we're kind of looking forward to it. We're kind of like, oh, I hope I don't miss it. You know, I just want to go. So sometimes, you know, maybe we hear something. Oh, there's an opportunity to go there. You know, opportunity to go to China. Wow, let's go for it. But you didn't actually really seek God and say, is this the time? Is it now? And what it becomes is, if you go on this, you know, this thing, it becomes, like I just said, a long cut. Maybe you can go to China or do something, but maybe you spend more money. Maybe you're not ready, and it will take longer to achieve what God wants you to do. So with this driving, my wife reminded me that, okay, just keep driving straight until you find the road that you're supposed to go on. And so in life, you know, we also need to keep on the road that God put us on until he tells you to turn or to go to a different place. So I really felt that even though it took longer to get here, God really reminded me of this and also encouraged me also through the pastor about being faithful and being where you are and continuing on with what God has given you to do. So I've been in Taiwan and China for about 13 years now. So it's been a while. And so just out of curiosity, who here has never heard me speak before? Can you raise your hand? Quite a few. So probably more than who have heard me speak before. Okay. So, my name is Sam Miller, and I come from Waconia, Minnesota. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's a small town southwest of the Twin Cities, so it's about 4 to 5 hours from south of here. And I went to Taiwan first through a short-term mission trip, and God worked in my heart. And so basically I've been there ever since. And I met my wonderful wife there because she is from Taiwan. And we've also done some missions in China, especially since the last time we were here, which I realized is 4.5 years ago was the last time I was here. Doesn't seem that long, does it? But anyway, during this time, we've also spent 2 years in central China and had a wonderful time of using English as a tool to reach out to a lot of university students and just really understand, you know, some of the situation in China and how we can be used through English to bless them and to build relationship and to help them find hope. And the past 2 years, we've been back in Taiwan, where I am a full-time minister in a local church in Taiwan. So right now I'd like to share a short video with you, just telling briefly about what we've done about the past 4.5 years. So let's do that. Thank you. Very brief, very quick introduction. I don't know if you could see that very clearly or not, or notice that my hair seemed to be changed. That long hair, I had braided hair, short hair. Anyway, that's about the only thing I can change is my hair. Let me show you just a map, just so that we can get our bearings. I'm sure you know a lot more about geography than I did when I first went to Taiwan. I didn't know where it was at that time. Hopefully you do know something. But here's the world map, and I assume everybody knows where China is. Yeah? The right, you know, everybody does know where China is, right? Yeah. You're better than me, that's good. Okay, and there's a smaller island on the southeast corner there that is Taiwan. You probably know where that is too. Like I said, better than I was when I first went. Anyway, and can you show me the next one of China, the China map? So from 2010 to 2012, okay, thank you. Yeah. This is the map of China. In 2010 to 2012, we were in a city called Wuhan. So where the red dot from Google Maps is over there. Right there. As I said, we were there. We were serving in a coffee house. And so the owner of this coffee house is also a missionary. He decided to use coffee and English and team them up. And, you know, students would come in, buy a cup of coffee, sit down with a foreigner and practice English. Very attractive for the students because there are a lot of them there. So we did that, and you know, as I'm sure you know, China has certain restrictions on preaching and open meetings and all this stuff. So we were well aware of that, and we were, you know, told this is a public place, this coffee house, so we're not going to do open preaching, but we talk with students, they ask us questions, and they ask us a lot of questions, and they're very curious about a lot of things. And religion usually comes up as well. So we had many opportunities to share somewhat with these students, and you can just see that even though they are under communism and especially for the younger generations, it's discouraged, you know, especially for children. From what I remember, it's illegal to share the gospel with anyone under 18, is what I've heard. But anyway, you can find that even though they're under this situation, they are hungry for something, because communism basically took away all their religion. So they're empty. So they're searching, they're hoping for something. So we had many great opportunities during that time. But you know, in a place like that, or actually any place, you never know when someone is going to be ready for the gospel. I found that out. we had met a student, a university senior, And she'd come to the coffee house, and we got to know her, and we'd say, okay, you know, we can come to your campus. We can visit you, and you can show us around the campus and all that. So we made an appointment to do that. So she was taking us around and showing us around the campus. Quite a big campus, and that campus, I think, had at least 30,000 students, if I remember correctly. During the time we were walking around the campus, her roommate shows up. So, okay. Never met this other girl before, but it's okay. Nice to meet you. And, you know, started walking around with us and talking. And, you know, being the good missionaries that we are, we're always thinking about how can I share the God, how can I plant a seed in here somewhere? You know, we're not just walking around the campus for nothing, right? We're looking for opportunities. And so we were kind of, you know, chatting and stuff, and we noticed the girl that we originally had met, she didn't really seem that open. She's, you know, talking about all this kind of stuff, but not really there as far as really wanting to know more about Christianity. But her roommate seemed more interested, and she wanted to know more. So by the end of the day, the one we originally knew, she went and did something else. So we walked around with a roommate, and you might have seen the picture where I was sharing the gospel with the long hair is me, okay? I had longer hair than her at that time, but anyway. I actually got to sit down and show her, like, we call it the lifeline, you know, a gospel message on paper. So I actually shared with her, and she received at that time. But the interesting thing is that after that day that we prayed with her, we never saw her again. Never had any contact with her again. Just that one day. Just a few hours of time. Just through a connection with her roommate. But the seed was planted. So it taught me, you know, we really never know when might be a chance to plant a seed. And how that connection, somebody's friend or somebody's mother or someone, we just have to be ready. So we just always have to be ready to share the word and plant the seed. So this was our time in China. And if you have more questions, we can talk about it more afterwards. Because we have a lot of amazing experiences. And just as you might have seen, it's a very big city, you know, about 10 million people or more. So it's just... you know, coming from a small town, it's a big adjustment. So that was a testimony in itself for us, and I can share more about that if you'd like to know. In the last couple of years, we've been back in Taiwan, in a local church. I probably shared about it before, but you probably forgot. It was planted by a Canadian missionary about 25 to 30 years ago, but now it's run by a local Taiwanese brother, and he's been running for about the last 7 years. And so I've been working closely with him. I probably am considered an assistant pastor. And so I do preach, and I do work with the youth. And this last couple of years, been trying to develop the media, you know, because everybody is into media these days. And if you can give a message with a video, it seems to be, even if it's a couple seconds, it seems to work much better than a piece of paper or a couple of words on the screen. So that's been an interesting thing that I've been working on. And but my wife, she's been quite involved with the children in the church, and I would like to ask her to come and share a brief testimony about the children's ministry over the last couple of years. So, Carol, if you could come. And I believe she will speak Chinese, and I will translate for her. And just trust me that I'm translating correctly, right? Oh, you can ask her. You can ask her.
Good morning. I want to share about what I do at the children ministry. Okay, I speak Chinese. Yeah. We have 我们在两年前开始儿童的一个训练。
About 2 years ago, we started children's training.
就是当我们回到台湾之后。
That is after we came back from China to Taiwan.
我们就是开始在教会里面就是养育这些的孩子，他们怎么样的敬拜，怎么样的祷告。
So we started to nurture these children, teaching them how to worship and how to pray.
那我们在就是也教导孩子他们如何的，就是向外人来传福音。
And we also told them how to share the gospel with the people.
那所以在过去的时间里面，我们真的看见孩子生命当中有很大的一个转变。
So we started to see that these children's lives were changing quite significantly.
那我们也就是也帮助孩子做一些的断开一些捆锁的这样子的一个祷告。
So we also did some prayer of deliverance, helping them to be released from bondage.
那也真的看见孩子的生命，他们更多的渴望神。
So we saw that their lives, they were seeking God more and more. They were open to God more and more.
那我们也开始成立就是像一个敞开小组。
So we also developed a small group.
那这些的敞开小组呢，都是由我们的孩子自己亲自的，就是带敬拜、带祷告。
So in these small groups, it was the children that did the leading. They led the worship, they led the prayer, and these things.
那他们也自己去邀请他们学校里面的同学进入到这个小组来。
So they invited their classmates from school to come into this small group.
所以真的看见到孩子他们很，就是在内心里面有一个很大的转变。
So you can see these children's hearts really changed a lot.
他们不仅只是跟 只是不再像以前一样，只是敬拜站在那边而已。
So like before, if they were worshiping, they'd just be standing like this.
或者祷告只是不知道大人在祷告些什么。
Or in prayer, they didn't know what to say at all.
而是他们开始能够参与在整个的敬拜祷告的这样的一个施工里面。
They could really start to participate in this prayer and this worship.
那像我们带领他们做一个白纸布道法到公园的时候，其实大人通常不会去拒绝孩子向他们传福音。And
we went to parks and we used a tool to share the gospel, you know, writing on paper. And, you know, adults, they can't resist a little child coming and sharing with them.
所以每一个孩子他们去向这些大人传福音的时候，都有一个很好的结果。
So each child that went and shared with these adults had a very great result.
所以我们在今年里面有一次带他们去公园里传福音，就有30几个人愿意决志信主。So
one time in the summer when we went to the park, there were over 30 people who accepted Christ.
所以真的可以看见到神在这新的世代里面在兴起孩子。
So you can see in this new generation that God is truly raising up the children.
那我们的孩子也在一个夏令营的团队里面，有一个国小一年级的孩子，他可以向100多人的孩子来传福音。
So at a summer camp, one of our students, who is the elementary school first grade, stood in front of 100 kids and shared the gospel.
所以真的可以看见到神其实在这个新的世代里面在兴起孩子。所以我刚才看到你们的孩子出来，让我觉得很感动。Truly
see that the children are being raised up, and we saw this morning this young man. I also felt very touched by that.
Yeah, 觉得 he is great.
Yeah, he's great.
然后在像在昨天我们的教会在比赛背经文比赛。
So yesterday back in Taiwan, our church had a Bible memory verse contest.
然后我们的孩子得到第一名的冠军。
So they're competing with the whole church, adults, youth, and children, and the children won the contest. Of course.
所以真的可以看见到这些孩子，他们真的很棒。
So these children are very wonderful.
所以我感觉到神真的把这个世代的孩子的心摆放在我的心里面。
So children are really in my heart.
所以 我觉得神真的要来兴起，就是不仅只是我们大人，而是真的要让我们更多的去向这些的孩童，去有一个好的教导，他们能够来跟随神。
Yeah, I really believe that God doesn't want to raise up only adults, and I believe that we need to really train up these children.
谢谢。
Thank you. So we have just great opportunities to work with Kara's working with children. I've been working with youth and also with the adults, just to see how God really can use anyone to be His ambassador. Today I'd like to share a short message. I feel God has given me. So let's turn to Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28. Okay, if we've turned it, can we read that together aloud? Whatever version you have, just read it out. Let's read it together. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all in one in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I've been thinking about what it means to be a cross-cultural missionary. You know, I just had an experience this last week. We were traveling and we went through Kansas City and we went to the International House of Prayer. And we were arranging our lodging. And so because of our China-Taiwan connections, we were able to connect with the Chinese area of IHOP to have a place to stay. Well, we were going to see our lodging, and this Chinese lady called me on the phone, and so she's talking to me in Chinese, and I answered her. I said, okay, we'll meet you where. And then she drove up, and then she saw the two of us, and she said, oh, I thought you were Chinese. And that's not the first time that's happened. It's much easier to trick someone if you're talking on the phone than if you're in person. But I've had similar situations like that. And, you know, it's also very, very interesting when I'm in Taiwan and, you know, we're at church and let's say a visitor comes to church. And so, you know, one of my friends or, you know, maybe a pastor or somebody, they will introduce me to this new person. Now, of course, a new person, I'm saying a Taiwanese person, right? And a new person, they will obviously think, oh, you're a foreigner, you know, I have to try to speak English to you. But, you know, my friend will say, you know, this is Sam and he's Taiwanese. You know, his Chinese is wonderful. He's Taiwanese. So I've noticed that a lot of my friends in Taiwan, even though I look white, but they don't really think of me as white, just because I speak to them in Chinese all the time, and that's my usual language there. So I've been wondering about what a cross-cultural missionary is, you know, because I come back here, and everybody says, oh, you're a missionary, that's wonderful. But when I'm there, I feel like, oh, this is home, it's like normal, and I speak to the people, and I eat all the food and all that, and it's normal. So I think, well, am I really a missionary? Because I don't really feel like I'm crossing culture anymore. So I was just thinking about, you know, what does it really mean to be a cross-cultural missionary? I mean, really, if I really want to be effective in the place that I am. And I was thinking about Jesus. Jesus has got to be the best cross-cultural, cross-racial, cross-human, whatever you want to call it, missionary there ever was. God became man. Now that is a cross, that's across everything. Okay? But the thing that is interesting to me is that when you read the Gospels and you see how the people responded to him, what did they say? Oh, you're just a guy like everybody else. I know your father, your mother, your brothers. Who are you? And they got offended when he said he was God. No, you're not God. You're a person just like us. So it seems to me that he was cross everything, but he seemed like a person like the rest of us. So I started to realize, you know, maybe I'm going in the right direction here. Maybe it should be as if I wasn't crossing the culture anymore. When they see me as one of them, then they will start to listen to me. They will start to connect with me. So this is something that I've been thinking about. You know, what does it mean to be one in Christ? How do we become one in Christ? So we know that we are one in Christ. I think that's I think we all know that. We all know this truth, but we take it for granted. Because, you know, when the early church started, until Paul started really saying, "No, you're one in Christ," they didn't really have that understanding. Because Jesus, in their mind, came to the Jews. Jesus is a Jew. He came to the Jews. We are the chosen people. And in our law, it says we cannot associate with Gentiles. We cannot associate with outside people. Now, that's the Jews' idea. That's not Jesus' idea. But it was not until Paul when he said, "No, wait. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're slave or free. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. You're all one in Christ." And you know, the great Apostle Peter, I mean, we know him, you know, from the beginning when he was always sticking his foot in his mouth to when he received the Spirit and he was bold as a lion and he spoke for God and did great things. But he, you know, perhaps you know the story of Peter and Cornelius, the story that basically he needed to be forced through a vision to go to meet Cornelius. He said, "That's, you know," he saw the vision three times of unclean animals. He said, "No, I can't do that. That's unclean. I won't do that." But God insisted. And so he went because God told him to go. Now, this is found in Acts 10, the story. You can look at it later, but let's just briefly look at Acts 10, 34 and 35. This is after Peter had gone to Cornelius' house and he was starting to share with them about what God had told him to say. And Acts 10, 34 and 35. Okay, so Cornelius was saying, you know, "I had this dream and said that, Peter, you're coming here. So I sent for you immediately and I just want to hear what you have to speak. So please speak everything that God commanded you to tell us." And so Peter says in verse 34 and 35, he says, Peter began to speak, "Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism." Notice that. He said, "Now I realize." Before I thought it was just the Jews, but now I realize the truth. Because it's God that shows shows everybody. God doesn't show favoritism. It's us that show favoritism. Okay? So if we want to be on the same side, the same team as God, we have to stop showing favoritism. Just think for a moment about, you know, the people around you. They may be different than you. Their skin color may be different from you. Their language may be different from you. But do we show favoritism to our own people just because it's easier, just because we've always done it that way? Just think about that. Verse 35. God does not show favoritism, verse 35, but accepts every nation, from every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right. So all those that have faith and believe in Jesus, they are one in Christ. So this is Peter's, you can say this is Peter's epiphany. This is Peter's recognition. But God had to show him and say, look, these people, you know, they're being touched by the Spirit. Look, you see, they got the same Spirit that you did. Oh, I get it now. So this is the early church. And so I think we take it for granted. We take it for granted. You know, we're all one in Christ. But at that time, they didn't realize it yet. But after Peter's encounter and after Paul, they started to kind of get it. But it's also interesting, if you look at chapter 11, when Peter went back to Jerusalem and started to tell the people, you know what happened? I went to the Gentiles. You went to the Gentiles? No, no, no. That's against the law. Right? So he had to tell a story all over again. You see, I went there, I got this dream, and I went there, and he had this dream, and I went there, and talked to him, and the Holy Spirit came, and I said, oh, okay. I guess, you know, if that really happened, then okay, maybe God is showing himself to the Gentiles too. You see, it took a while. They were still ingrained in that thinking that, I mean, of course, we honor the Jews, they're the chosen people, and we're praying for Israel, but we are all one in Christ. So now we come to today. You know, we look at that situation and we think, they're kind of backward. They don't know that God is for everyone. That's kind of silly. But if we think of ourselves, how do we do it? You know, have you ever seen a picture of Jesus, like a painting or anything from any time? Have you ever seen a picture? And do you know what Jesus looks like? I mean, what color is his skin in all the pictures?
He's a white man with blonde hair.
Or brown hair. So I've seen brown hair too. But you're right. He's a white man. Almost every picture I've seen. Oh, there's a few black one, black Jesus. But so you think about that. We always, all the painters painted him as a white man, but he wasn't. He's from Israel. He's brown or whatever. But you see how we picture him or how we think of him as our Jesus, you know, our white Jesus. Okay. But he is not just our white Jesus. He is Jesus to all peoples on earth. And you know, when I've been talking to people in China and Taiwan, and I hear them very often, you know, say, you know, Christianity comes from America or comes from the West. Thinking, do I have to believe in a Western religion? You know, when I just think, you don't get it. Jesus is not from the West. Christianity is not from the West. It's from the East, and it's for everyone. So you can see, you know, how our perspective and other people's perspective is not quite right, even today. So, we are all one in Christ, and Jesus is for all people. The problem is that no matter if it was the first century or it is now, we are looking at things the wrong way. Because Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. We're looking at the religion. We're looking at, okay, the Jews thought, oh, Jesus is a Jew. He was one of us. You know, he followed those traditions. That's the religious part. Or the people of today, you know, the people in China think, oh, Christianity, this religion, comes from the West. But that's the wrong focus. It's relationship, not religion. The religion is made by people. But God wants relationship with each of us individually. Okay, so we need to focus on that. That this is a relationship with God. And there's how many gods? One God. So we must be all one in Christ because there's only one God. I mean, that's common sense, right? If there's one God, then we all have to be one in Christ. So, what is it saying? You know, when Paul says, doesn't matter Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, you're all in Christ. What does that mean? I mean, you think about this. Think of what the people would think, you know. Let's say someone heard it's the same slave and master. And the master says, what? How can you say that? That's my slave. You know, and you say, it's the same male and female. And you say, what? I'm associated with the males? Or I'm associated with the females? How can you say that? But you realize that you're doing the same thing, is that you are taking the outward part. You're taking the earthly part. Because if you are a master here on earth, that doesn't mean you're a master in heaven. And even though I don't fully understand, you know, or these things, but in heaven it's not that important or even meant, or I don't even know what it is. Anyway, male is for us on earth to use to help us understand the union between. Or, you know, Jew and Greek, whatever. These are all religions for the earth. So when we compare ourselves to a different group and say, you're different than I am, that is an earthly perspective. But we are talking about a heavenly perspective. We need to start having a heavenly perspective. No, those things don't matter. It doesn't matter if you are a master or slave on this earth. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, or you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, you are one. You see? So we need to start now, to start thinking of us in heavenly terms instead of earthly terms. Because these earthly terms are so temporary, so short. And if we focus on that, if we just separate ourselves just for that short time, that could ruin an eternity. How terrible is that? So, we are one in Christ. We are one in Christ because that is the heavenly perspective. That is what God made us above all of our own creations of class and gender and all these things. So, that means that if we are in Christ, we should be able to, of course, if God calls us, we should be able to go to any country. We should be able to minister to any group, any age, because we are one in Christ. Because those temporary things don't matter. So when God is calling you somewhere, I said, I can't, you know, I can't speak their language, or, you know, you're calling me to the old people, and I'm not that old. But that doesn't matter because, old or not, each of them is a soul that's precious to God. It's the soul. It's important. It's the eternal. It's the heavenly thing. It's important, not the physical situation. Finally, I'm thinking one step forward. You know, we said that we are all one in Christ, and we're talking about those who believe in Jesus. But what if I said that no matter if you believe in Jesus or not, you're still one? Because you think that, no, that's sacrilege, right? Are you one with your unbelieving neighbor? What do you think? If we're looking from a heavenly perspective, if we're looking from God's perspective, if we think of Jesus, when Jesus came to earth, He spent an awful lot of time with those that were unbelievers. He had dinner with them. He healed them. He cared for them. And so the religious people, they said, "You can't do that. They're dirty. They're not one of you. They're not one of us." But Jesus did it, because He came for all people. And we also know that Jesus' death, although, you know, it happened in history at some point, like 30 AD or 30 AD, right? But it was planned and finished from the foundation of the world. So if you're looking from God's terms, wait a minute. This person right now hasn't believed yet, we'd say, but God has prepared them to believe, then we are one in Christ, aren't we? Do you catch where I'm going with this? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you? I think you're a little confused there. What I'm saying is we need to have a change in our perspective. Because when we say, "Oh, we're one in Christ, but those, they're not," we're separating ourselves. So, you know, we have our little church group over here, but those are, they wouldn't understand. They, you know, they're not part of us. But when we consider Jesus came to save all people, and He wants to work through us, and that we can only really touch people if we can get close to them, if we can eat with them, if we can, you know, touch them and heal them or whatever it takes, then we have to look at them as one of us. We have to see that they are the same as us, you know. As it says about Jesus, I believe it is in Hebrews, it says, He was as a man in every way, yet had no sin. So that's the same, it should be the same for us. We are the same. Yeah, we can hang out with all these people who are not Christians, yet have no sin. Okay? So we need to see ourselves as the same, because we really are. I mean, it's just that we accepted the love of Jesus first. I mean, that's all it is, all that's different about us. It's the same grace that saved us that will save them. It's the same God that saved us that will save them. So we need to start seeing the world, seeing all creation, all people, as one in Christ, and then we can truly be ready when God says, "Okay, you see that black man over there? I want you to go and talk to him." What would you say normally? "I don't know how to, you know, I don't know their lingo. He'll think I'm crazy or something." You know, we have a lot of barriers. But if we could just peel away the skin, so to speak, peel away the outward appearance and realize there's a soul in there that's seeking for God, then we're all the same. We're really all the same. So I just want you to think about that. As you go through your day and as you go through this week, think about that. We are all one. And we need to start seeing those souls that are the same as ours and start hearing God more clearly about, okay, this is your chance. You can cross that culture. You can cross that barrier because we're all one. Let's pray and let's close this message. Father, thank you, Lord, for the things that you've taught me through going overseas. And just thank you for what you have done. But you've done it all. You've paid it all. You've completed everything already. And you've just given us this opportunity to work with you and to see through your eyes, to understand our true purpose on this earth. That we also can be, wherever we are, we can be that cross-cultural missionary. That we can bridge that gap because it was already done by you already. Just help us to be open. Help us to lay aside those outward appearances, differences in religion, differences in skin color or nationality, language, whatever might hinder us. Lord, help us to lay those down and help us to see what you see. That we can see those souls yearning for you. Thank you that we can be together this morning, that we can experience you, but Lord, we know that you want to use that experience to help us to connect with more people, that more people can also experience you, because you long for everyone to know you. Help us to be part of that. Help us to look forward to those chance encounters, for those just brief moments that we have to pass on that seed. So thank you, Lord. We give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen.